Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in. It's beautiful Brooklyn. As I live,
know where you're going, but don't know how to get there? You found the rabbit hole, Alice. From free bars to apartment hunting and sending out your demo, he's here to make sure you don't break the bank. Welcome to the Starving Artist Podcast with your host, Johnny Sanford.
All right. Welcome back to the 7th podcast. This one is exclusively for directors, but those of you who aren't directors can tune in as well. We got a great show for you today. We got an interview with Keith Breaker, an independent filmmaker based out of New Jersey, Jersey City, to be exact. And he's going to help kind of shed some light on directing and the whole film scene these days. Before we get to that, though, however, I just want to extend an offer for those of you who are listening, and I know there are a few of you out there. We're going to make a street team for Starving Artist Guide. This is your opportunity to get involved on a very awesome level. And basically, it's going to be anyone who is willing to go out and put up stickers, hand out flyers, is going to get a free t-shirt. And it's going to be a design yet to be seen, but I want to start that up in the next couple of weeks. So if you want to, send an email over at starvingartistquestions@gmail.com. So let's get into the directing aspect of this podcast. Now, I've never directed anything per se. I have written a screenplay, and I didn't do anything with it. However, it was very cool to have done. Now, I didn't really feel like I would be able to go out and make it into a film, because it involved travel on airplanes, and that's about it. I mean, I guess I just didn't have the tenacity of the tenacity that you need to be an independent film director. First, you have to get the script, and you're going to be able to. It's got to be something that you are going to be happy with working with for the next year or two of your life. I know David Lynch, he worked on his first film for 5 years, and luckily his actor had stuck with him, because most actors wouldn't. So in order to get ready for this podcast, I actually found this book, How to Shoot a Feature Film for Under $10,000 and Not Go to Jail, by Brett Stern. And it's a step-by-step guide to making your feature dream a reality, it says on it. Someone had gotten rid of their dream at a thrift store. They decided that the dream was over. But luckily, I got it for $1.99. I bought his dream for $1.99. So you gotta commit. That's the first thing you gotta do. Well, first you gotta write the script, and then you gotta commit to it. You gotta know that this is it. This is what you want to be doing for the next year and a half or 2 years. Because not only do you shoot the damn thing, you also have to edit it. And then even after you edit it and you have a first cut, you're still going to have to go promote it. Now, promoting, you can kind of use the same tactics that I've discussed. Basically, guerrilla marketing. Going around town and plastering up stuff and putting stickers around. We'll get into that after the interview. So, some of the things that I kind of culled from Brett Stern's book was that if you're gonna write a screenplay, you're gonna want to make it the bare minimum that it takes to be a feature film, which is 87 minutes. Because, yes, most films last for about 120 minutes, but as a independent artist, that extra 30 minutes of film is not actually 30 minutes of film. It's more like 90 minutes of film, because there's a 3-to-1 ratio that you're going to be shooting. For every 1 minute of film that you keep, you're going to get rid of 2 other minutes. That's just kind of didn't work, different takes and stuff. So you're going to want to shoot at a 3-to-1 ratio, and you're going to want to keep it at 87 minutes. Now, for shorts, I guess you can make shorts as short as you want, but keep in mind that you're not going to be able to really bring them. What's the market for those films? I mean, yes, you might get some recognition, but you're not going to be able to play them around the country at independent theaters. So, submit them to like Cannes Film Festival, Sundance Film Festival, etc. You're also going to want to tailor your screenplay to the locations around you that you know you have access to. And for those locations, you want to get everything in writing. Anyone that steps on the screen, you are going to want to get their signature saying that this is okay for me to have filmed you, because you don't want to deal with like the whole legal system if you forget, and that's just called a release form. Just I don't know, Google release forms, you'd probably be able to get a pretty easy template to follow, and just have them sign it and tell them that it's normal for these to be signed. And if you're going to shoot a film on or near college but you don't go to that college, go buy a t-shirt with the college name on it, because you know that they have a film classes and stuff. Especially in a city like New York, you can pretty much do this. You might want to check around, talk to people in like cafes around NYU or the New School, see if it's easy getting troubled by their security forces, and you'll avoid some consequences. Just as long as you have someone on your crew, maybe the director of photography, to wear that t-shirt. So, camera equipment is extremely expensive. Now, the book goes through how much it costs, but let me go through a basic budget for a feature film that you might want to do. Film stock, if you're going to shoot on film, is going to be around $2,000. Food, you're going to spend around $500 to feed everyone on your crew. Equipment is going to be $1,200 to rent. Props and wardrobe, $200. Expendables, $100. Developing the film, $1,200. Video transfer, $1,500. Editing, $2,000. Sound and mix, $1,000. And miscellaneous is he put $424.99, just so that the total comes to $9,999.99, keeping it under $10,000. However, he does say that later in the book, like halfway through, he's like, "Yeah, this is going to cost more than $10,000, but keep tricking yourself into thinking that it's going to be less." But once you get invested enough, there's nothing that's going to stop you. Because a lot of it is investment. You're going to be investing in this. You're going to want a producer. Now, if you're like me and you have friends from college that all got fairly decently paying jobs, you can get them to help produce and tell them that they're going to be a screen credit at the end, and hopefully they'll get their money back. Well, you don't say hopefully. say, this is going to go all the way to Sundance to become the next Memento, win 10 Grand Jury Prize Awards or whatever. Now, getting stuff into, like, Sundance and Cannes Film Festival is a great way to get distribution, and then you may actually get your money back if you can get in to those festivals. But enough about that. We'll get into that after the interview. Now, you can rent your camera equipment at camera rental houses. And you can just Google camera rental houses New York City and find a bunch. But you're going to want to avoid the extra costs like insurance. In the book, he also goes into a way that you can get, you can pay for 2 days and get 14 days for free. Now, it kind of seems a little silly the way he describes it, but the way he does it is like, if there's a day, you rent at the end of a Friday, and you get the weekends for free, and say you're renting it for 3 days, and then, but you're not going to pay for that weekend, and then somehow there's like a day off. He says like rent it on like a 4th of July when you know that they're going to be closed. So if you get that Monday off, you've gotten 4 days for the price of, well, say you're going to start recording on Tuesday, then you get 4 days for one. I don't know. He goes into it. It's best to just read it. It's kind of convoluted. But maybe it works. I don't know. I mean, this guy seems like he knows what he's talking about. He's done some feature films. I just actually looked up his IMDb profile, and it said he worked on the new Watchmen for effects or something, which is kind of cool. So this guy is actually making it, Brett Stern. And so he's doing his thing. As far as getting actors, most directors just go through Backstage Magazine, I think. There's also, and just put ads up. You can also go through Craigslist. In the interview, Keith describes where he gets his actors from. So, keep in mind that you're going to need thousands and thousands of dollars to make a feature film, and thousands of dollars to make a short film. So it's an incredibly intense process of making your own film. It's not for the lighthearted. You need total dedication. See, with me, music is kind of, you know, I have my own digital studio at home. I'm doing solo recording. I have all my equipment. I've bought it over the years. So it's very easy for me to just get it like that. This is kind of very, like, almost the polar opposite in the creative spectrum, in that you need to rely on people. You need a lot of capital. You need a lot of just different aspects. You need the same kind of promotion, but it's just a totally different beast. Speaking of beasts, let's take our first break here from the album Noble Beast by Andrew Bird. This is Fits and Dizzy Spills.
Comes and goes like a fits and dizzy spells like a weather. And it blows like it knows what's going wrong, like it's clever. Has a name, oh, but the name goes unspoken. Something gets in, the night shit gets in, and we were fast asleep. we were all so fast asleep. But you were woke up. You woke up from the strangest dream that an aubergine could ever know. Would ever know. Would ever. In a steam heat fevered cyclical motion. Has a name, but the name goes unspoken. It's in vain, cause the language is broken. So cast your own, cast your own.
All right, that is Fits and Dizzy Spells from Andrew Bird's newest album, Noble Beast. We're here. This is Johnny Sanford with the Starving Artist's Guide. We are talking about directing today. And we're just going to get into my interview with Keith Breaker, an interview. He's an independent film director out of Jersey City. So before we get into that, just a few more quick things about doing the shoot. As a director, you got to be the one in charge. You are the one with the knowledge, the skills, the power. Everyone's going to come to you. And your best bet would be to just do the film in one fell swoop over 10 days. You're going to want to shoot at a 3-to-1 ratio. Now, over the length of the shoot, you might run into police, security guards, etc., etc. Now, if you can, run. If you can't run, well, sometimes it's best to treat the police with respect. Tell them that you're doing a student film. Usually they take pity on students. And that's pretty much it. If you're going to go down, you're going to go down. But go down with respect. Go down with dignity. So after the shoot has completed, after 10 days of barely sleeping and just constantly drinking coffee until it is running through your veins like a brown sludge, you get to edit the movie. You get to call It's a Wrap. After you call It's a Wrap, everyone gets to go home and you're stuck with a pile of film. Now this is the kind of boring part, and if you're a director, you pretty much already should know how to do this. So, I'm not really going to get into it. Basically, you just have to go develop the film, sync in the sound, etc., etc. After you get a first cut, show all your friends. Ask what they think. They'll probably be constructively critical. And then you just gotta recut it as necessary. So one of the major things involved here is the battle between film and video. Now, film stock is the traditional stuff that rolls by, you know, it's brown. But video is like a digital thing that it's just, it has the LCD screen, and what you see is what you get. When you're filming a video, you pretty much can see it, how it's going to look. Film is the opposite. You don't see it, so you don't know if it's going to be good or not. However, from what I've heard, people still are feel strongly about film stock. You want to be a filmmaker, not a video maker. But we get into that in our interview with Keith Breaker. Actually, you know what? We're gonna go to a song break and then come back with Keith Breaker. Now, this is the Flowbots with handlebars.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. Look at me, look at me, hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crooked-y. I can show you how to do-si-do, I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control, and I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem, I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus, me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took, I can do anything that I want. Cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome, no metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone, on the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, look at me, just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store, I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine, 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics, I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run the business, and I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers, me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system, I can do anything with no resistance. Cause I can lead a nation with a microphone, with a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule, of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure, my cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison, just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission, I have it all under my command. Because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars.
All right, so here we are with Keith Breaker. He's a independent film artist. He's done some short works on alphaaomega.com. And tell us a little about yourself, Keith.
Well, I'm originally from Manhattan, born in Manhattan, raised in the Bronx, and came to Jersey when I was about 6 years old. I started just falling in love with movies around the age of like my teens, and I did my first movie at the age of 15.
Cool.
I've been writing since I was like 10, but my passion for film started like around 15 years old. Did my first short at 15. just yeah. making movies since then.
That's awesome, because I was really excited to do this interview, because I don't really know anything about directing, but I love movies. It's kind of exorbitant, the amount of money that you can end up spending for a film. Now, if you don't mind me prying, like, how much would you want to set aside if you wanted to make your own film? Let's say a short film.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the best example, I guess, is the last movie I made. I personally put in more than, like, $1,000 for the last film I made, and
wow.
I had to get some help from some other people.
Mm-hmm.
I would say about, it all depends on the movie, but, like, the size of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, especially if you shoot on digital, then you gotta feed the people, and I would say a couple of thousand.
That's incredible,
you
because
can pull off a movie with like $2,000 or $3,000.
And how long would that film be?
Again, it depends on like the script, I guess the story.
Mm-hmm.
Some movies can be just 10 minutes, 5 minutes long. But it all, like, adds up because you got to buy tapes, you got to buy food for people. Sometimes props. Sometimes you got to buy the props for the movie.
Yeah, it's incredible.
But the way it goes, like, have your actors use their own clothes.
That was one of the things.
Know, just get a lot of people to do things for free for you.
Yeah, that's one of the key things, if you're trying to do a directing, is to network, kind of make friends, have them do it for free is essentially what you got to do.
For all my movies, I've never paid my actors,
mm-hmm.
and they already know that from the beginning. If they accept the role, they're not going to get paid, so that saves money.
Now, how do you get your actors? I mean, are they friends, or do you post ads on Craigslist? Or
yeah, I post them up. I put them up on NewYorkCastings.com and Mandy.com. And I haven't put anything on Craigslist, actually,
mm-hmm.
But I put it up on the internet, though, and I get good amount of responses.
Yeah, I mean, just when I was trying to get this off the ground, I just kind of sent out stuff on Craigslist, and it's amazing that the people respond. They send me headshots, they send me like resumes and stuff. I'm like, wow, kind of feels, it makes you feel important. I think that's kind of part of directing too. You are in control of a huge cast of just cameramen and people and stuff. Now, you mentioned digital versus regular film. Can you kind of just go over the differences between shooting on traditional film stock and going the digital route?
Yeah, well, with digital, is whatever you like see on the screen, on your LCD screen, on the camera, that's what you're going to get most of the time. With
mm-hmm.
film, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You got to wait. You got to get it processed. But with digital, you get it right away. And, the difference also with film and digital is the depth of field. It's very hard to show depth on in video. Many filmmakers try, but it is still very difficult. And also just the texture of film.
Mm-hmm.
Film just has this nice sharp, it's hard to describe, but film just looks so authentic, and I don't know, it's just something about it.
I heard there was a program.
I like both, though.
Isn't there a computer program that can put that film grain on a video? Do you know anything about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's done in post-production. Yeah, they, and especially with the cameras now, the digital cameras that shoot 24p, they're trying to make digital look as close as possible to film. So the speed of shooting digital movies now can make it look like as close to film as possible for right now. But, what you're talking about, that's done in post-production and give it that film look.
Now, how much of the film would
cool
you be...
Thing, but, I mean, if the person's going to shoot in the film, they should just go ahead and shoot in film, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It'll cost more money, but...
How much more?
The project is worth telling.
It is worth it?
Then just go for it.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about
I think overall, a lot of people, when they sit and watch movies, they're not thinking about what it's shot on.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you're like a film fanatic, you know?
there's a lot of things that an independent artist is going to have to deal with, and one of them is going to be locations. You're not going to want to have a scene in your independent film where, I don't know, a tank runs over an air. You know, you can't have things out of right. your budget.
Yeah.
So, go into like how dedicated you have to be, kind of to the script, and how it's gonna. How you know like, you can't just willy nilly go and make a movie.
Right. Yeah. Well, when you write the script, it's really good to just be honest with yourself as a writer and try to write something within your limits. You know, something that mm-hmm. you know that you can pull off. Think of places that you have access to or that you believe you can get access to through favors, again, through people that you know. And the best thing really with independent movies is to keep it simple. Like, you know? And mm-hmm. that will help you.
Because then you're not even... You're not even looking at
story.
You're not even looking at it as a like a budget film. You're looking at it as like kind of an interaction between human beings, and that's kind of what people. That's what I guess what a sleeper hit is. Like, what was the one that just won a ton of Oscars? What was it?
Oh, like a recent movie?
Yeah, the one that just won.
Oh, Slumdog.
Slumdog. Did you see Slumdog?
Yeah.
What was your What's your take on that?
It was great. It was. Just about everything a movie should have. It's really energetic, adventurous, very powerful story, and it's universal. Mm-hmm. You can really relate to it, and since not as far as like poverty, you know, we don't live like that here in America. Some people live really badly, but the conditions there in India is pretty. Really tragic, but yeah, overall it's a great movie, really good movie.
I was rooting for.
They don't like blow things up in there. It's very like a human type of story,
mm-hmm.
story that deals with human relationships.
I was rooting for Wrestler though. So what's the current project that you're working on?
A current project? Oh yeah, so I'm working on about three projects actually.
Wow.
The last one I did. I have to finish this summer. I want to try to finish it this summer. Ran out of money. Had some issues with actors too.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to finish that one up. And I'm working on a new script with a photographer. Her and me are gonna try to finish that up this month.
Gonna try to pull your volume up. So you just mentioned losing an actor. Have you lost actors during a filming?
Oh yeah.
And can you kind of describe that?
My last movie I made, I lost, I would say two. One of them got walking pneumonia. That wasn't her fault.
But, wow.
But two of them pulled out. Yeah. And it was one guy, he pulled out like the day before we were going to shoot the scenes.
Yeah, I heard it's notoriously difficult to work with actors.
It can be. I mean, they're... Because I try to see from their point of view too. They're not getting paid, but then again, they know what they're getting into at times, and I think the pressure is just so on them. And sometimes they don't like the conditions that they're being put in, and they feel like it's just not well put together, and they just pull out. They have their different reasons, each of them. But it can be difficult. But I have worked with most of the actors I worked with. They were a lot of fun.
Now, is there any way to kind of salvage a script when an actor, like a lead actor or whatever kind of actor, kind of pulls out of your project?
Well, when it's the lead, it's kind of it's difficult because that happened to me in 2006. I was doing a feature-length movie in college. The lead actress pulled out, and I just had to stop shooting the movie. It was a rough time. Pretty emotional, and you know, I didn't want her to pull out, but she did, and just had to stop shooting. It's difficult to pick it back up again, because then you got to go through the whole process of auditioning or just getting an actor involved again, and it's difficult. Sometimes it's just best to just take a break and just pull it back together like later, or you can just continue shooting and shoot through all the scenes without that actor in it, that character in there, until you get that part filled in again.
Wow. Yeah, that's one of the hard things about directing, because as a musician, I mean, I'm like a solo musician, just because I've kind of gotten burned. Not burned, but things fall apart, and it's so much easier to just work on your own, because you're working at your own speed, you're doing what you want to do. So I guess it's a kind of, it's all about relationships and stuff, and you got to find the right people.
Respect and trust, it's a lot of things. And that's the thing with movies, it's just big collaboration art form.
Mm-hmm.
And you need people, you know, you really do. Because when you just try to do so much of it on your own, when you're making a movie, you'll get burnt out. And I experienced that. I just got exhausted. It was too much.
Mm. Yeah, so just getting back to the kind of video versus film wars. Now, making movies on video, on digital video, has this completely just kind of changed the scene, right? It's taken something that used to take, you know, millions of dollars, and it's kind of brought it to a point where almost anyone with some capital, with some money and some producer or two, can go and make a movie. Do you think that is good or bad? It's kind of hard.
Kind of works both ways, I guess, good and bad. But I kind of see what you're saying, because like nowadays, I mean, it seems like anybody's kid can make a movie. Oh boy, it's tough.
I know it's the flip side.
I mean, this art form is open to anybody. Make movies. The sad thing is when people just abuse it and they do like crap,
you know,
and they think that they have the talent or to pull things off, and it's just a waste of time. It becomes a waste of time of people's viewing. But
it's the double-edged sword.
Make great movies. It's a great advantage, you know. It's
yeah, and now, like kind of independent people can get, like, you can go and make a great movie, like a movie like Primer. Have you heard of Primer?
Yeah, I didn't see it though.
That movie was shot on digital film for he had a budget of $7,000, and they went and won like a ton of awards. It's a good movie. It's not a great movie, but the fact that the guy had a budget of $7,000, and it's playing, you know, in Cannes Film Festival, Sundance, it's incredible. It just shows that with the right script and like the can-do attitude, you can really actually go and do it yourself.
Absolutely, I agree. That's a great thing where somebody has that talent to be able to pull that off, in spite of, you know, the little small budget they have. It can go a long way. It can.
Now speaking
and again,
of
again, I think that goes back to like how well it's written.
Mm-hmm.
The script is just so important.
Speaking of talent, this is kind of an opinion question, but do you think that you really need a degree in film to be a independent filmmaker, or can it be done by anyone with like the passion?
I mean, I don't want to push people away from education. It's important. It is, and the experience in, you know, film school is great because you meet all kinds of people.
Yeah, that's true. There is a whole networking
and all that. But I personally think that you don't really need it, you know?
It's tough. You go through it to realize that you don't need it, is what's funny.
Yeah, you don't really need it. It's really, because a lot of people are self-taught. They teach themselves, or mm-hmm. they get friends to teach them, they read. It's all a lot about reading. I read a lot before I even started making the movie. By the time I got into high school, I had really known a lot already.
Can you...
writing the script, and what kind of shots, you know, create different effects and all that. It's, you know, that stuff I read already. I already mm-hmm. knew about it.
Can you kind of go into books that you might want to read?
You just read and you just go out and do it. You know, you learn from your mistakes.
Can you recommend any books that someone who wants to get into directing might want to check out? I mean, is there a Bible to directing?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. There is a really good book called The Filmmaker's Handbook. They have different editions of it. They like revise it once in a while. That one is really good. There's another good one called Creating Unforgettable Characters, I believe it's called. The author's name is slipping my mind. But those two books, and... Oh boy.
It's okay.
I mean, Sidney Lumet, he wrote a really good book called Making Movies. That book is pretty good.
Sidney, that name sounds very familiar.
Yeah. He did Dog Day Afternoon.
Ah, yeah.
Serpico.
Yep, that's what it's from. Also, I would recommend Story by Robert McKee, I think. McKee?
Robert McKee.
Yeah, that's a great one. I read that.
Yeah, Story, yes. Yeah, somebody recommended that to me, actually. I didn't read it.
That's kind of like the Bible to screenplay writing, I think. He just brings everything down to like seven things in every single great movie. There's like seven different types of movies. I know that's kind of like making genre, but I mean, the truth is, to sell a movie, you kind of have to fit into a genre, no matter what. I mean, you want to write a, you know, about wizards, you're going to be a fantasy. You want to write about a crime, you're going to be in the crime genre. So.
Definitely. I think it's important for a filmmaker to know. Storytellers to know what genre they want to go into, because that's what producers are going to be looking for. Studio producers, eventually, when you get into that, they're going to want to know what your, what genre your specialty is in.
Indeed. All right, so let's take a little break, and you wanted to hear the new U2 song, "Magnificent." We're here with Keith Breaker, an independent film director. And we'll be right back after this song, Magnificent. All right, see you on the other side. All right, so we're back here with Keith Breaker, independent filmmaker. He's got his stuff up on alphaaomega.com if you want to check it out. He's got a couple shorts up there. What are they called for someone who's looking for them?
Oh, it's called I Am Me and Anna's Redemption. I just want to make a correction, Johnny. It's alphaomegafilms.com.
Okay.
Yep.
alphaomegafilms.com. All right, cool. Let's just wrap it up. Now, I have a feeling, and this is just kind of a gut instinct, that the internet is going to become, barring any, like, internet censorship issues, but I have a feeling that the internet has become a kind of a stronghold, if it hasn't already, for independent film. Things like iTunes Store, you can get movies. Like, you know Joss Whedon, who did Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Right.
He put up a thing called Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along, and it was like number one.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, it's an internet-only thing, and it stars Doogie Howser.
Right.
He did this during the writer's strike, and it was an independently like produced thing, and it got viral, and he was making money off it. The first week he had it streaming for free, and then the next week he put it on the iTunes store, and it went straight to number one for video for films. So I just have a feeling that that's going to be the next thing. Also, YouTube for short films. People are getting their names out there. They're making connections.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Is that a good thing? Or should films be strictly, you know, for movie theaters?
It's tough. I mean, it's a great outlet. It really is. It's a great way of reaching, like, many, many people at a really quick time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love the big screen. I just love the experience of
being
in the theater.
It becomes...
sitting with strangers in the dark and watching movies. I think it's just a wonderful experience.
It's an experience instead of staring at a tiny screen. But I think for independent, you know, people who are coming to New York who want to make it or break it, and kind of putting
that would be great.
Their self out there.
On the internet. Absolutely.
That's how you're going to...
I think it's a good idea. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just getting your name out there, getting your work out there. That's mm-hmm. what's important.
So,
and then you just take it from the next step from there. But yeah, I think it's a good idea. It's just, again, how people abuse that, you know?
It's true. Because not everyone has a great idea, but if they have the technology and this misguided passion. Same thing is going on in music, too. Because the internet's doing it to everything. It's devaluing the good things because everything's free, basically. I mean, it's going to come to the point where the traditional systems, like the record industry and possibly even the film industry, are just going to start crumbling. And it's an opportunity for the next generation of musicians, film directors, artists, to kind of take the reins and make it something beautiful instead of like this corporate structure that's basically strangling the creativity out of it. They want to make the next Terminator PG-13.
Right.
Did you hear that? It's insane. Just to make more money, because they saw that the last Die Hard, which was PG-13, was the biggest selling Die Hard.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know what? Personally, I want to see.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to see a rated R fucking Terminator.
The whole nitty gritty of it. It's all about money, how much they can pull in.
But I think right now we have the opening to kind of take back the artistic expression, if you will. So for someone who wants to move to New York to do filmmaking, What would be your biggest piece of advice?
You gotta be really focused. You gotta be very focused and be very passionate and just really be courageous. You know, you gotta be really courageous to take that step and to have money.
That's the yeah.
You gotta eat and you gotta like have a place to sleep.
And you gotta feed the cast too.
You know, just be wise. You gotta be wise about it. A person, I don't think, should just jump right into it. They should just take their time. And,
yeah, you know, start with shorts.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on directing? Where it will take you, I don't know, philosophical meanderings?
Advice for directors out there, you mean?
Yeah. In general.
I would say read a lot. Read about things that don't even pertain to film. Read about art. Read about paintings. Go to museums,
mm-hmm.
watch other filmmakers' works, but also if you're a writer slash director, if you're a writer too, do a lot of writing. Just write.
Yeah.
And study. And just go out there and do it. Don't be afraid. And get a really strong script. Get people that you trust and go out and make the movie. Just do it.
Awesome. I would extend that also just to like other things like Eastern philosophies. You know, I've been studying Buddhism just to kind of clear my mind from the negative. Because when you come to New York City, everything moves at a faster pace. You'll find yourself walking faster. You go back home, your friends are, like, moving slowly, and you're still, like... Well, my friend who lives upstate calls it city time. You're still on city time. You eat faster. You just, like... Your body is sped up, so it's good to kind of... combat that with kind of meditating, yoga, I don't know, all those hippy dippy things that you used to make fun of. You
right.
know?
So what I do, I take like walks. I just like to walk.
Mm-hmm.
No destination sometimes. Just walk.
Yeah.
And just clear my mind.
I do
into a quiet space.
Bike riding.
Go to the beach, you know? I just be a bike. Very important thing too, before we wrap this up. Really important for artists, for people that want to make movies, is not to be afraid to be alone. It's very, very important to be by yourself a lot of times.
I agree completely.
You can concentrate and think and really gather your thoughts together.
Yeah, because if your mind is off in Never Never Land or whatever, and you can't find yourself a center, how can you make a movie that has a center? Or a song that has a center? Or a painting that has a center.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's true.
All right, let's end it on that. Thank you very much, Keith Brager. Do you want to plug anything? We'll give you, I don't know, one more alphaomegafilms.com to check out some of Keith's work. Thank you very much for being our guest on the 6th Starving Artist podcast.
Thank you.
And we hope to see you again.
Thank you.
No problem, man. I appreciate it. We need more people like you out there on the streets taking films and rocking and rolling. All right.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Keith.
All right, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
We just want
All right, so that was our interview with Keith Breaker. Look forward to hearing from him again. And you can check out his films, like I said, at alphaaomegafilms.com. Thanks to Keith. Now we're just going to wrap it up quickly. Just going to go into getting your stuff into film festivals is not always easy. It's not going to be a walk in the park. You just got to keep on trucking. Keep on trucking. Now, the same goes with any kind of promotional kind of trying to get something somewhere. Is make connections, send it out there, and one day your big break will come. So next week we're going to have an artist on. I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to get too much into it. We're going to end with a little song from Eddie Vedder. This is from the soundtrack of Into the Wild. A good song selection for those who are setting forth. All setting forth. See you on the next podcast. This is Starving Artist Jared out. Here